الذين ينضموا للاستماع إلى راديو بلدي أو الراديو عربي أمريكي ويعنى بقضايا العرب في المهجر. برامجنا في راديو بلدي كل يوم جمعة من 8 حتى 9 صباحا في بث حي ومباشر عبر WNZK Radio 690 AM. صباح الخير بلدي، صباح الخير لكل مستمعينا.
Welcome to Radio Baladi, the first Arab, Middle Eastern and American simulcast radio show. Radio Baladi is broadcast every Friday morning on WNZK 690 AM from 8 until 9 Eastern Time on Des Moines, Michigan. Our call-in number 248-557-3300. And now, stay tuned for the best radio talk show on Arab and American issues.
Good morning and welcome to the Local Connections from US Arab Radio. We thank you for being with us and we wish you a wonderful day. We have a great program for you today. We are going to be talking about food and organic vegetables, state programs against violence, and also state programs for affordable housing. We're going to start with organic vegetables. I'm sure you have heard that you are what you eat, and you are eating good food, then you're doing well. I don't know about you, but I love good fresh vegetables, and I recently stumbled over a good find, a place in Brighton where they sell fresh organic vegetables. You can, and with us this morning is Robin Riley, who started the program. Good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about the program. How old is it? When you started it? And it's very exciting.
Super. So maybe I'll start. So my name is Rob, as was mentioned, and I started the farm here in 2021 after a real transitional year for our family, you know, with the death of our 14-year-old daughter, a global pandemic, and empty grocery shelves. We started to think a little differently about things, about health, about spiritual health, about physical health, and really, we started off on a new mission at that point to provide our community with nutrient-dense, locally raised organic food. And somewhere in 2022, I found Riley, who's now managing the farm.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful.
I've been with Rob for about 3 years now. This is my second year now being farm manager, and we're just so pumped to grow vegetables.
Yeah. Is that a year-round work or just only part of the year that you work?
It feels like it's more than a year, doesn't it, in 1 year?
It's not easy. It's a lot of work. I do plant some vegetables in the summertime, but you know, it's a lot of work. So how does it
so Riley's with us generally from February till November.
Okay.
And that's what it takes to run our three-season farm. We don't really farm in the wintertime at this point.
Yeah. And how does the program work?
So our CSA program, CSA stands actually for Community Supported Agriculture. The idea behind it is to give communities ways to support local farmers and align the fees that they pay with the costs that the farm incurs, which is usually in the first part of the season. Normal row crop farmers borrow a bunch of money and pray that they have a harvest at the end. This sort of a program aligns the community's investment in the farm with the costs that we incur. And also, as a result of the program, the people that participate actually buy a share of the farm's output. And then through the course of the year for their membership fee, they'll get 19 weeks of vegetables and lots of eggs and lots of extra stuff. Along the way, we want to make sure everyone goes home with enough.
And it's wonderful. Definitely more than just vegetables. I want to say it's a community. Like, we just love getting to talk to people. People get to meet who their neighbors are and who their community members are. And it's just really awesome to get to know everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Are they all from around you, or you have people, you know, further away from you that come and pick up?
Yeah, we have. So there are people that drive a fair distance. I have one customer from Bay City who's actually going to drive down this year to pick up
Wow.
at the farm, which is about an
Yeah.
hour.
Yeah.
We do have three pickup points. So our farm is in Fenton, but we have a pickup point for the CSA program in Brighton, one in Ortonville, which is new this year. We'll be at the Ortonville Farmers Market. And then, of course, at the farm. And when you come to the farm, you get the added benefit of being able to feed the chickens and see the operation, which we certainly welcome. I think it's transparency is a huge part of this.
Absolutely, absolutely. What do the how is the program is divided? I mean, what does it cost, and what do you get for what you're getting?
So we have two products this year. Actually, we have four products. The 19-week program, which is the full share, is vegetable boxes once a week for 19 weeks. We have a product that includes eggs, which is $770, and one without eggs, that's $690, which for some I think maybe sounds like a lot of money, but if you ask yourself what $40 a week buys at the grocery store, that's about the
You're not
cost of
getting
it.
much. You're not getting
Not
much.
that much,
Yeah.
yeah. So
Yeah.
it turns out to break out pretty well, and we do offer people an opportunity to break that into some monthly payments.
Okay.
The other product is really a half share product, which is just the same thing only every other week for people that think they may not be able to eat all the vegetables, or particularly geared towards couples or even singles. So it's a little bit less frequent. More opportunity to eat everything that comes in the boxes, and it's a little less expensive too. So with eggs, that program is $380.
What does the box include? What kind of vegetables?
We have the staples, so you'll always get lettuce, or almost always get lettuce. I've been saying that because we had a couple of weeks last year where we didn't have any lettuce, but we try to always have lettuce, leafy greens like kale, root vegetables like radishes, then the world's best turnips, actually. So don't knock them till you try them. These turnips will make you a believer in turnips. During the season, we have tomatoes, lots of tomatoes. We grow 20 different kinds of tomatoes, both heirlooms and the typical beefsteaks, eggplant, peppers, beans, you name it. And then as the season goes on, we start to get cabbage and winter squash. So all in all, we grow about 56 different kinds of vegetables. Obviously, we have to choose what to put in your box each week. So we generally try and choose the staples, and then something a little unusual. For example, we might give you fennel bulb, which is something not everyone's familiar with. So we also make sure every week that we publish a newsletter that has ideas and recipes about how to use everything that you're going to find in your box. And usually there's a story about something that happened, something tragic that occurred at the farm, which makes really hilarious reading because every week for sure something goes horribly wrong, and it's sort of fun to laugh at ourselves and also give others the opportunity to do that
Yeah.
too.
Yeah. Roughly, what are we like, what kind of size box we're talking about?
So the box itself is a 3/4 bushel box,
Okay.
and it's usually full. We do make sure that at every pickup point, we also have extra. So, for example, if there's a family that feels like they need more than what we put in the box, we encourage them to take some of those extra vegetables. It's part of their membership. It's for people who want more, or maybe sometimes just something different. Or the best scenario is when people are entertaining and we send them home with extra vegetables so they can brag to their friends about how they have a personal farmer and they get the best produce in Michigan
Sure,
because
sure.
they get it fresh from the farm.
Sure. And these are organic.
We're USDA certified organic. We also are a regenerative farm, which actually takes this whole organic thing a little bit farther. But what we do, we are inspected and certified every year as part of the program.
Now, organic means no pesticide, no, I mean, what does it mean?
So the NOP, which is the National Organic Program, has very, very specific rules. Basically, it means no synthetic anything on the farm. We do use some sprays that are allowed, but they are all organic in nature. So, for example, the extract of a chrysanthemum flower. We use a spray that has that in it that tends to help with the bugs. We use some bio pesticides that are like a bug that eats the other bug. And we also use physical barriers. That's our number one choice. You know, insect netting, you'll see tons of it on the farm if you come out here in the spring. And we're going to try something new this year, and we're going to take one of our tunnels and enclose it in insect netting to try and do a better job keeping it off some of the cucumbers and some of the other more problematic vegetables.
How do you do last year?
We grew, I think if we had tallied it all up, it was almost 50,000 pounds of vegetables.
That's great.
Last year we farmed about 1.3 acres.
Yeah.
So pretty intensive stuff. I mean, the fun thing you read every week in our newsletters about how, you know, a new bug hit the farm and it ate all our cucumber plants and things like this, which means we have to restart. And, you know, the organic farming is not for the lighthearted. You know,
no, it's not.
Have a whole lot
any
of
kind of farming is not.
Yeah. Any you don't have a lot of tools to use in the end. It makes for a better product. It makes for better soil, you know, and it's all around better, but it is not as consistent, and it's certainly more challenging, right? So we do have examples where, you know, Riley probably sees potato bugs in her dreams, you know, for example, because we just had thousands and thousands of them last year. We still had potatoes. We had nice potatoes, but it was, you know, we had to work very hard to keep the pest out.
Absolutely. What do you feed your chickens?
Sorry, what was that?
What do you feed your chickens?
What do we feed them?
So we feed them a premium feed that comes from Kalmbach. So first, I should say the eggs are not organic. And part of the reason we made that decision to not certify the egg operation is because I just really felt that what they required us to do was not the best thing for the chickens, to be honest.
Okay.
So we try and keep them on fresh grass. That's why we call them pasture raised. We can call them that. Because they love to eat the grass and forage for the bugs. And that's the biggest thing. And then we supplement the feed with Kalmbach, all natural feed. The result is our eggs that I have had people clamoring for all winter. I mean, they're just like nothing. They're like nothing you're gonna be able to buy in the supermarket.
What color is the yolk?
They're bright orange. They stand up, you know, like they're not flat. They stand up on the.
I'm so looking forward to that.
Kind of a half spherical shape, and they're just so much better.
Yeah. Is there anything I haven't asked you that people need to know?
Oh my goodness. I would just maybe say, do you want to go first?
There's just so much for organic. It's just awesome. And like, it just tastes different. Like you don't know until you've had farm fresh vegetables. And it might not be what you typically see in the grocery store. Like some of our organic produce is kind of ugly. But that's real. It's nature. It's not perfect.
And
it's cool just getting people connected to their food, and we're right here.
I grew up on a farm, and I know exactly how it tastes. So whether it is eggs or it is vegetables, it's just the taste is totally, totally different. Even the fruit that we used to pick up, you know, they taste really totally different. So
so maybe one thing that I would just add to all of this is I want to brag on Riley a little bit, because what we're doing here, we're convinced is the future of farming. This is how we return healthy soils to what they need to be, organic matter wise and food web wise. We don't actually farm vegetables. We farm soil, and the soil farms the vegetables for us. And so healthy soil is a very big thing. And we think this is the future of replenishing our soils that we've kind of really destroyed over the years with conventional farming. And Riley, I think, is the future of that farm. She's now, you're going to be 24, right?
No,
23. So she's a 23-year-old graduate of Grand Valley with a degree in sustainability who wants to be a farmer. So
wonderful.
This is more than just growing vegetables. It's also trying to do our little part to make a future for all of us.
Yeah. And how do people can sign up?
So the best way to sign up is to head to our website, which is thewagonerfarm.com. I don't know, is there a way to put this in the graphic or something?
Yes, what we'll do is when we run it and we run it on our social media, we will have it, you know, there for people to click on it. So people can click on it if they choose to. And normally if people are interested, they can call us also for, to find out the website, which is thewegenerfarm.com.
E-N-E-R. Yep, yep. Three E's. W-E-G-E-N-E-R.
E-R-F-A-R-M. Yeah, I was just reading it from the website.
Wegenerfarm.com.
Yeah.
And people can call us as well. Farm number is really my number, which is 248-808-4652. The best, we'd encourage people to head to the site, give us their contact information under our contact tab. That also puts you on our mailing list, so you get to be part of all the funny stories and hear about all the tragedies on the farm. And
wonderful.
And it also keeps you up to date with things that are happening. We sell our produce not just through the CSA program, but also through farmers markets and the farm stand here on the farm. So there are other ways in the event of a tomato emergency or something, you can get that taken care of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Could I ask you to repeat the phone number and the website, please?
Website is The Wegener Farm, thewegenerfarm.com. Google. Mm-hmm. You can also find us on Google. And the phone number is 248-808-4652.
Yeah. The window to sign up, is there a specific time?
Well, we'll sell CSA shares until we're out. We're going to have about 130 shares this year, and we're about halfway through. So when we get to 130, we'll stop selling.
Sounds good. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. This sounds like a great program. I can't wait until we start picking up from there. And I want to declare that I did sign up for it, and I'm very excited about it. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. Please stay tuned.
At Top Rehab Physical Therapy Clinic in Dearborn, we provide effective physical therapy sessions in order to limit pain and discomfort. Top Rehab provides physical therapy care for any diagnosis prescribed by a physician, and we regularly see and treat conditions such as stroke, TMJ, fibromyalgia, sciatica, joint pain, and more. We use a variety of pain management methods, including modalities, soft tissue mobilization, and therapeutic exercise. If you're in need of physical rehabilitation or physical therapy, get the highest quality health care at Top Rehab. Most insurance is accepted, and we're open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 8 to 6, Tuesday and Thursday 8 to 5, and Saturday 10 till 2. Call for an appointment today at 313-846-0555. That's 313-846-0555. Choose Top Rehab Physical Therapy Clinic on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn. Life's too short to be in pain. Get ready for an amazing experience at Ishtar Restaurant on 15 Mile Road in Sterling Heights. Enjoy excellent hospitality from owners Ali Abbaghdadi and Fatty Bottom, serving the best in Mediterranean food. Try Chef Ali Abbaghdadi's famous shawarma, the best Iraqi grills and food, and the best Arabic and international dishes. Dine in our authentic atmosphere or take out. Call 586-698-2585 or check us out on Facebook. Ishtar Restaurant practices all CDC guidelines and is open every day 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Have an amazing experience today at Ishtar Restaurant, 3625 15 Mile Road, Sterling Heights. With more than 30,000 successful in vitro fertilizations, IVF Michigan is now ranked as one of America's best fertility clinics, according to Newsweek magazine. IVF Michigan fertility centers are the recognized leaders in high-quality fertility care. With locations in Bloomfield Hills and 9 other cities in Michigan and Ohio, IVF has experts in all aspects of the field. A founding member, American Board Certified Dr. Nicholas Shama, is one of the leading reproductive endocrinologists in Michigan and Ohio. He has performed over 20,000 successful IVF cases and it's helped thousands of couples fulfill their dreams of parenthood. When it's time to get personalized care from Dr. Nicholas Sciama at one of America's best fertility clinics, call IVF Michigan Fertility Centers in Michigan and Ohio toll-free at 855-952-9600. 855-952-9600.
Welcome back and thank you for being with us. This is Khalil Hashim with US Arab Radio. We're going to be switching to a different topic, and that is housing or affordable housing. The state of Michigan has a great program to assist homeowners when buying a home, those who qualify. This comes at a time when home prices are very high and not much homes are on the market. The program is called MISHTA and has helped thousands of homeowners. With us this morning is the CEO and Executive Director, Amy Hovey. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. Good morning and thank you for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be able to share what MISHTA has been up to.
Absolutely. Did I say your name correctly?
You did.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So tell us, please, what is MISHTA and how do you help homeowners?
Yeah. So MISHTA stands for the Michigan State Housing Development Authority. And we are a state agency that works with communities across the state to really make sure that they have housing available for Michiganders to either rent or purchase. So right now in our state, we are in a housing crisis, mostly because we don't have enough supply for our current population. We're about 190,000 units short of where we need to be. And so our agency helps address that issue in a variety of ways. We have products and programs that help everyone from homeless all the way up to families making up to 120% of the area median income in the area in which they live. So we have for sale products. So for instance, we have a mortgage. Our single family mortgage also comes with $10,000 of down payment assistance to assist families in paying for closing costs and down payment. That is for first time home buyers. Again, usually just serving families up to 120% of AMI. We also have programs that help with subsidizing the development of multifamily housing, so rental throughout the state. And that are funds that come through the federal government to MISHTA. And that we help create about 3,000 units a year. With that subsidy, it's through our low-income housing tax credit. And then we also have money to help revitalize neighborhoods and do, you know, build single-family homes or rehab units within a neighborhood, whether they're homeowners or renters. So we really have a variety of things at MISHTA in which we can work hand-in-hand with communities to make sure their housing needs are being met.
How long will it take to really catch up on housing? I mean, that's a lot of...
when I pulled what our building permits are in our state, you know, we're at about, I think it was about 21,000 units a year that we're building.
Okay.
So, and that's down. We usually build more than that. So if we don't attract any additional people to our state and have no job growth, that would, and we continue to build at our current rate, you know, that'd take us several years to get caught up. But that's not what's happening. We're working hard in Michigan to build our population, to attract more people to our state, to attract more jobs to our state. And so, you know, I think we really need to focus on getting some additional funding into housing, both from the federal as well as the state government, and bringing more partners to the table and kind of alleviating the barriers to developing housing, whether that's at a local government, you know, issue for zoning or getting permits, or all the way up to what we do at the state level.
Yeah. For those who qualify, the $10,000, this mm-hmm. is basically a long-term perpetual loan. Is that correct?
That is correct. So the $10,000 down payment assistance is kind of like a quiet second mortgage. So you don't have to pay on it for as long as you own your home. It does not accrue interest. It just sits there very quietly until you sell your home. And then when you sell your home, if there's funding to repay it, it gets repaid at that time and reinvested into another homeowner.
What about if I want to refinance?
If you want to refinance, you also will need to repay the $10,000 DPA.
Yeah, that's
unless you refinance with MSHTA. So we've had refinancing programs at MSHTA depending on what's happening with the rates in the environment. And if you refinance with us, of course, you don't have to pay that.
Oh, okay. So there is a way around it.
Yeah. We have, from time to time, we will have refinancing programs at MSHTA to allow our homeowners to be able to refinance and take advantage of lower rates.
Okay.
Right now, our rates are very competitive because, you know, the mortgage rates in the private market have gone up. And so we actually had our best year ever in 2023 with our single family mortgage product. Right now, the sale price for that only goes up to like 224.5, which isn't a lot. So we have legislation right now into the state of Michigan requesting that we can increase that dollar amount, because we know that it's really hard to find a house in Michigan that's below $224,000.
Yes.
And so we're hopeful to get some legislation passed here in the next couple of months and be able to raise that mortgage amount so we can serve more families in the state. Yeah.
Is that restricted only to first-time buyers, or?
It is restricted to first-time buyers, which is, you know, defined as somebody who's never purchased a home or somebody who's not owned a home for the last, I believe it is 3 years. If you own a home but you've been out of the market for a long time, you're considered a first-time home buyer.
If I bought a home in 2004, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still in my home. I want to sell this home, buy another home. Am I considered a first-time buyer?
No, you have to be out of home ownership for at least 3 years. So you must have sold your home and rented for 3 years. Okay. And now you're, because the purpose of the program is to help people enter the housing market.
I see.
And we know it's often hard for folks who don't have equity they're bringing from a previous home to be able to purchase in our state. And, single family homes are very expensive right now in Michigan compared to where our salaries are. So any help that we can bring to the table, we're happy to do so.
You mentioned something about if I want to build single units, you provide help. What kind of help is that?
Yeah, so we have programs that will help subsidize the development of single family homes or multifamily or rental or for home ownership. We have a new program that will actually be officially launching April 1st, but that program is called My Neighborhood, and it will allow for grants, subsidy to go into the development of homes to allow you to be able to kind of bridge the amount that it costs to develop versus what a family at 120% of AMI or below can afford to purchase. So, for example, if it costs $100,000 or $300,000 to build a house in Michigan today, which it certainly does in most areas, if we would give you a grant for $100,000, then you can sell that home for $200,000, which is more affordable to Michiganders to be able to purchase.
And the sale would have to go through you?
The sale wasn't necessarily have to go through us, but we have to verify the fact that it's being sold to a family at 120% or below.
Or qualified family.
And then they need to stay in that home. I think it is for 5 years.
Okay.
So they can't purchase and then just resell.
If I want to develop like a 12 units or whatever it is, this
same
also.
Same program. You could come through for the same program.
Okay. Wonderful. This is really good.
Yeah, so, we're excited about it.
Yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Are you going to start a restaurant or a grocery store soon? Do you need floor plans and designs? Call Najee Abood at 734-744-9796. Do you want to buy kitchen and restaurant equipment at discount prices? Call Najee Abood now, 734-744-9796. New Concept Products and Design, the trademark of kitchen equipment. 5% discount on all purchases of $75,000 or more. New Concept Products and Design, new location, 31185 Schoolcraft in Livonia. Learn more at www.newconceptproducts.com. Call Najee Abood, 734-744-9796.
Ziad Brand. Quality products from our family to yours. Ziad Brothers Importing offers the finest quality products, including brands like Sultan, Kraft, Nestle, Hook, Rico Picon, Donna, and many more. Ask your retailer to carry these fine products because you deserve the very best. For more information, visit our website at www.ziad.com. That's www.ziad.com. Ziad, quality products from our family to yours.
ArabNews.com, bringing you breaking news from across the Middle East and the latest on Arabs in America. Get inside the latest headlines with expert analysis and insights at ArabNews.com. Join over 5 million Facebook fans and over 10 million monthly readers. ArabNews.com, news that matters to you.
Welcome back and thank you for being with us. We're talking to Mishta and about their great programs for housing. So what is the governor announcing?
Well, I mean, I think she's just reinforcing that housing is a priority for the state of Michigan. You know, she made a commitment that Michigan was going to put out $1.4 billion to assist in the housing crisis in Michigan, hoping to be able to impact 10,000 households. And, you know, that's a bit of a stretch for Mishta, but I think we're up to the task. We have some new programs that we're rolling out that will help bring some additional dollars to the table and help us be able to meet that goal that the governor stated in her state of the state.
Yeah. Do you have any programs for renters?
For renters?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. So we have funding to help with the development of rental units for low and moderate and middle income families. So I think I've mentioned some of those. Sure. We also operate what's called a Housing Choice Voucher Program, which is rental assistance for our most vulnerable families in Michigan, for those that are at risk of homelessness, mm-hmm. where the government will come in and help pay for a portion of your rent, depending on what your income is.
For a period of time, I'm assuming.
As long as you income qualify. So we have folks that have housing choice voucher for, 10, 20, 30 years if they continue to need that rental assistance. Okay. So we operate about 30,000 of those housing choice vouchers throughout the state of Michigan.
Yeah. And if I were to build the low income housing, 12, 15 units, you know, what have you, and is it always have to be rented to low income?
It depends on the program that you're using. So if you use the low-income housing tax credit project program, you know, that can be for 15, 30, 45 years. If you come through our My Neighborhood program, that would be 10 years that you would have to keep them rented for families that are income eligible.
Okay. And those income eligible, is there like a restriction on how much I can charge for rent? Or
there is, yes. Okay. So HUD publishes, the Department of Housing and Urban Development publishes like a rent chart every year that basically equates to 30% of folks' income based on their income level. And so if you're using state money or federal resources, we use that rent chart to determine how much you can rent the units for.
Okay.
We just got to make sure they're affordable for the folks absolutely. We're trying to help, right?
Yeah, it's a great program. I mean, it sounds really wonderful. This way, you know, you're helping developers get their projects through, and then you're providing low income, those who are in need of those homes, a place to stay. Yeah.
Correct.
Are there any other programs I haven't asked you about?
Well, we have a whole slew of different programs. For example, we're just rolled out late last year, tax increment financing for housing subsidy, which is a little bit more complex. But you know what I always say, if you want to develop housing and you want to understand how we can help you, just pick up the phone and give us a call. Let us sit down and tell you what we can do rather than try to figure out which specific program works best. Okay. Just reach out to our agency and let us help you through that.
Okay. And how can we reach you?
You can reach us through our website. We also have a toll-free number that is available on our website as well. And that is at michigan.gov/MSHDA.
Okay. And that's for both individual and...
You can access that way, yes. Give us a call and we'll point you in the right direction.
Absolutely, absolutely. And those who need help with, if they're buying a new home for the first time, they would need to look up somebody who provides MSHDA loans. Is that correct?
That is correct. Call you.
Okay.
That's correct, right? All of our single family mortgages are originated through banks and credit unions that participate with our mortgage. And those can be found on our website, but a lot of different folks throughout the state offer our mortgage.
Wonderful. Is there anything I haven't asked you that people need to know?
You know, we're looking for additional folks to develop housing, to do rehab on housing. So we encourage people to give it a try and give us a call.
Yeah. You know, we didn't talk about rehab. Like if there is a home that needs to be fixed, I can get help from you to fix it and rent low income.
So we do have a couple of products available. Right now, we are still operating our My Hope program, which can be accessed via the website. There's a portal where you can do an application that is for individuals and provides up to $25,000 in grants to help your home be more energy efficient. So think about roofs and windows and furnaces and hot water heaters, those types of things. So you can get up to $25,000 if you qualify. And then also the My Neighborhood program that I mentioned, there's a component of that that if somebody wants to run a homeowner rehab program, so perhaps a local government or a nonprofit, then they can access the funds that way to do individual rehabs on homes.
Okay. The money for furnaces and all of that, does that become a lien as well?
It does not.
It does not. Okay. Is there a limit on how long I live in the house?
That's a great question. I don't think so, but okay. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. Because there were some federal programs where you have to be in the house for 5 years. Otherwise, you have to pay.
I know on our missing middle, you needed to be in the house for 5 years. I just can't remember off the top of my head for the My Hope program. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Could you repeat the website, please, one more time?
Yes, absolutely. It's michigan.gov/MSHDA.
IDA. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Life for Relief and Development has now been rated as one of the best charities for humanitarian aid. Life's humanitarian projects span the globe, and Life is celebrating its 30th anniversary of providing essential life-saving aid to people and communities in 36 countries, regardless of race, color, religion, or cultural background. Where there is life, there is hope. And when disaster occurs here or around the world, including being one of the first responders to the Turkey-Syria earthquake crisis, Life for Relief and Development rushes in to provide food, medical aid, and shelter to those in need. We are looking to help the earthquake victims, and we take 0% overhead on emergency donations. So please help improve these efforts. Learn more about our involvement to help the helpless and bring hope where it's needed most, and make your tax-deductible donation to Life for Relief and Development now at lifeusa.org or call 248-424-7493. That's 248-424-7493.
As the weather gets colder, it's a good idea to layer up with scarves, hats, and mittens. Another layer of protection this season is to get your flu and COVID-19 vaccines. You can get both vaccines at the same time. Talk to your healthcare provider or learn more at michigan.gov/COVID-flu-RSV and layer up for some added peace of mind. A message from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services.
When you're looking for the best in optical care, Dr. Imad Nakash is your doctor to see. With years of experience and thousands of successful procedures performed, you can trust your eyes to Dr. Imad Nakash. See Dr. Imad Nakash and his professional staff for your eye care needs. There's two locations to serve you. In Hazel Park, call 248-336-3937. 248-336-3937. In Rochester Hills, call 248-299-3937. That's 248-299-3937.
Welcome back. This is Khalil Hashim with U.S. Arab Radio. We will turn to another state program, the Community Violence Intervention Services, a new program the governor established. The governor also appointed Jennifer De La Cruz as a director of the Office of the Office of Services. Ms. De La Cruz, good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about you, and then we're going to talk about the program and what the benefits and who does it serve.
Sure. A little bit about me. So I have worked for Michigan Department of Health and Human Services for almost about 15 years, if I can imagine that. But I have previously provided oversight to the injury and violence prevention programs here at the State Health Department. So here at MDHHS, we've taken a public health approach to violence prevention. So I have worked in areas such as suicide prevention, community violence intervention, sexual violence prevention, overdose prevention. And so that's a little bit about my background, is working with various partners and communities across the state to help prevent injuries and violence.
Absolutely. So what's the new office and the new services you provide? Why do we need them? And then we can, you know, add to that later on.
Sure. Well, I'm very excited to talk about the new, brand new Office of Community Violence Intervention. So community violence is typically defined as a type of violence, usually specifically assaults or fights or shootings between unrelated people who may or may not know each other, and this happens in a public space. So this could happen in streets and neighborhoods, in public spaces and schools. And so part of this office is really working with communities across Michigan to help improve feelings of safety among residents. So we help deploy public health strategies to improve community safety. So we focus on people who are at the highest risk for violence.
So how are you going to do that?
Okay. So a good question. And part of the, how we're going to do that is we're working with local communities. We were able to do some grant making opportunities where we're able to give some funding to local communities who are working specifically with those folks that are at highest risk. So that might be victims of gun violence, and it could also be folks that are sort of, you know, behind the gun, perpetrators, and really working with sort of both groups of people and helping them make a little bit healthier choices and providing some intensive wraparound services, transformational mentoring. It's really taking a very community-based approach with lots of different community partners and organizations to focus on these particular populations, including some at-risk youth.
Are there any prevention dimensions to this?
I do think with the youth component, there are some prevention dimensions. So we know that there's there might be opportunities to work with like individuals and youth in schools that are at elevated risk for violence, and being able to connect to them in those school settings with services, with mentorships, looking at how we can best support that young person so they don't go down roads and be victims or perpetrators of violence. And why this is important is because every community experiences community violence. And so that's we're really pleased to be able to have this office to be able to work with communities across Michigan.
How many employees do you have?
Well, we will have a small staff of four staff. So, you know, we're small, just a brand new office, but mighty. So we certainly are getting out and talking to communities and finding out sort of what's going on and what programs they currently have and needs. And so pretty excited to sort of roll up our sleeves and get to work.
Could you give us an example of any of the communities you're talking to?
Sure. So we've been talking to Detroit. We have been meeting in Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Lansing. Again, just trying to sort of learn what's going on, how we can help understand the issue of community violence better, and to find out what is working in these spaces.
Now, there are already several programs out there to, you know, in regard to violence. Why do we need this specific one?
So there are some programs related to violence prevention, including some of the ones that I had mentioned. I think this is a great opportunity to be able to focus on community violence intervention. So there's not as much support for community violence. So that could be, you know, working with folks that at those highest risk, so that they don't go on to experience re-injuries of firearm injuries or violent crimes. And so this is a really important intervention point within public health to think about how these services can be coordinated together to better support these folks. And there isn't quite as many grants and funding out there previously to work with these specific populations.
Yeah. Does this include any follow-up programs? You know, normally when people are involved in violence, you know, they need help afterward as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So the organizations that we are learning from, so it's quite an intensive sort of support and commitment to these folks that are at highest risks for violence. So, you know, thinking about those case management and wraparound services and mentorship, they can be with somebody, you know, a year, 16 months, or sometimes even longer. So we were fortunate to be able to provide some funding. We put out a request for proposal last fall so that we are able to work with some organizations currently and through the end of the next state fiscal year. So there's a little bit of time to also help provide some support to these folks.
Yeah. How did we get here? I mean, it's America. We got everything going for us, and then we still have to worry about violence, and specifically in schools. How did we get here?
Yeah, well, that is quite a big question. I feel like we need another hour to discuss how we got here.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of different risk factors for violence, and they do sort of cross the spectrum, and with different types of violence, and community violence doesn't have necessarily different risk factors. There's a variety of different reasons why we got here. It's multiple reasons, multiple levels, sort of levers being pushed and sort of why we got here. I will say, though, one thing that we have seen increasing rates with homicides, assaults, and suicides that have happened just in the last couple of years. And I do think that the pandemic did sort of exasperate some things that were going on in terms of economic stability, social condition, family supports and networks. And so we have seen, and we're still continuing to see, some of the aftermath of some of that sort of situation and worldwide pandemic that we were in. We're still seeing these things play out in our communities.
It is, you know, it's a very important issue. You know, my children go to school, and I'm always concerned.
Yes.
And, you know, the other day we were going to go to a particular mall, and then we decided not to, and then there was a shooting there, and luckily nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
And you know, this is, it's becoming to be really a huge issue. And I'm glad that you're doing something about it. And you know, and it's just, it's on everybody's mind.
It is on everyone's mind. And thank you for sharing that. I certainly, you know, I understand the concerns and, you know, I'm a mother myself. So, you know, I fully understand that. You know, what we're trying to do is, you know, work with partners, deploy evidence-based strategies for community safety, including in those sort of public settings and school settings. But one thing I just want to convey to everyone is we all have a role to play in keeping our community safe.
Absolutely. So
whether that's involvement in organizations and schools and you know, learning more about sort of these risk factors and how we got here and the conditions. And so what we all have a role to play to be actively engaged in our communities. And I will say that is something that has shifted and changed too, is, you know, that sort of community engagement. And I think that is a space I would love to sort of impart to your listeners today, is the role that each of us play in being actively engaged in our communities, in our neighborhoods, and just really involved in that fabric of those networks and social networks that we have.
Absolutely. At the family level, what can we do, you know, to help with what you're doing?
You know, I think it's really, it's important to be engaged. It's important to be engaged with your children, with your family, your larger networks of family and friends and schools. I think that's part of it, is really being engaged with these groups of people, including your immediate family members, and checking on them and having some honest dialogue with folks and how they're doing. I think it's also important to understand, you know, lots of different things. I think about developmental milestones and what our young people are going through. It's very different than what you went through as a child growing up and what I went through as a child growing up. So understanding all of the interplay of those things, and then really understanding services, what your community offers. You know, we can't necessarily do all of these things alone. We carry so many heavy loads. And so knowing that there are community organizations and supports out there that can also help keep those families strong. So I think those are some of the things that I would say.
Yeah. And, you know, I wish there were more work to help us as families to recognize the signs so we can be proactive. Don't you think?
I do. I do think that education is also really important to that piece. And so, you know, besides the INS dialogue with our family members and checking in with them and checking in on their wellness, it's also really important to understand sort of, you know, what we can do to help support them in real tangible ways. And I do think part of that is education. Yeah. Education on conditions, education on wellness and resiliency and what supports are out there, including mental health services. And so I do think that there is a piece of education and how we can help sort of understand some issues and so we can better support each other.
Mm-hmm. Will you be working with any faith-based organizations?
That is, yes, we are working with some faith-based organizations, and we expect to work with more faith-based organizations. We know some of our partners work very closely with faith-based. We have a advisory council for the office that has people from all over the state that are involved, and we have a large number of folks from faith-based communities. And so we're certainly looking for more partnerships, because we know that there are additional folks that we need at the table from faith-based communities. And we know the important role that our leaders in our faith-based communities play in terms of not only leadership, but also some mentorship and being able to have conversations that maybe parents and immediate family members can't have.
Any of these organizations that need the help, how can they reach you?
Well, you know, that's a big question, but I can tell you. So my email address is delacruzj@michigan.gov. Our office is so new. We don't have a website yet. We're still working on some things, but delacruzj@michigan.gov. And certainly there might be some other resources to connect folks to. Obviously, if someone is in crisis, I would want them to utilize those channels of, you know, 988 and 911 and all of those things. But if there's something that I can do to connect folks to know what's going on in their communities, that's a good way to reach me.
Yep. Is there anything I haven't asked you that people need to know?
No, I'm just excited to be able to chat about this new office, and thank you for the opportunity today. I look forward to, you know, being able to share more about what we are doing and working with partners. So I just encourage folks to continue to learn what's going on in their local communities and also think about how they can help support people feeling safe in their own communities.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us. We definitely, you know, wish you the best, and we thank the governor for this establishing this office, and we hope, you know, every little piece helps, and I hope there'll be a lot of cooperation and success.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
So, thank you to everyone on the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Robert and Riley for the organic vegetable program. And also, we want to thank Ms. Covey for the information she provided in regard to housing. We definitely need more housing in the state and more help. If you are in need of help and you're a first-time buyer, give me a call. I'll be more than happy to work with you and then to help you understand how you can get help through the state with down payment assistance if you qualify. This is really a great program. There are other programs as well. Give me a call if you have any questions, 313-819-0101. I want to thank Ms. De La Cruz also for being with us, you know, talking about community violence there and how what we can do to reduce violence. We're not going to eliminate violence, but we definitely can reduce it. So, and I encourage organizations to work with this new office to there are a lot of help and funding and programs to reduce violence. At the same time, you know, this is the housing market is very hot. If you need help, if you have any questions, let me know. My number is 313-819-0101. Thank you to our production team. Thank you to Mike for a great production today. And you have a wonderful and safe weekend. Again, if you have any questions, don't hesitate. 313-819-0101. Have a good night. Bye now.